Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad that you're here. Let's begin our worship by standing and singing together, Give Thanks. Number 373, and it's also printed in our order of worship. Please stand as you're able.
Thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks. To the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ. The poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done.
May be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here, and we welcome any guests that we have in our service today. And of course, we're glad to have the Whites back with us today. Thank you for worshiping with us, and pray God's blessings on you as we worship together. We also welcome those joining us by radio or by online. We are delighted that you're part of our worship today, and pray God's blessings on you as you worship with us, and invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let me mention several opportunities for this week. The youth group will meet this evening at 5:30 here at the church for pizza and ice cream, and then the deacons will meet Tuesday evening at 6. Our Lenten luncheon this week will be at Nebo Baptist Church Wednesday at noon. And then Wednesday evening here at the church, Kids Club at 6, choir practice at 6:45, prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock. So hope that you'll be able to participate in those things as well. Now on March 17th, next Sunday, we're going to have a short church business meeting right after the worship service to present a proposed bylaw change. And so please be prepared to stay for just a few minutes after the service next week. If you'd like to place an Easter lily in the sanctuary, the deadline is fast approaching. Contact the church office by March 20th, so that we can order those. And the cost is $23 per lily, and we know we always have a good number of those to beautify the sanctuary at Easter, and so keep that in mind. Our Easter egg hunt will be Wednesday, March 27th. There are details in the bulletin about how you can help in that effort. And one of those things is taking a bag of empty eggs and filling those with candy and bringing it back. We have two bags left. So hope there'll be somebody who'll grab those two bags today and fill those and bring them back. Our annual Revival Sunday will be April 14th with Dr. Roger Gilbert from Mount Airy as our guest preacher. And we're looking forward to that. The Middle Swamp Baptist Church Choir will be here for the evening service. We'll also have a covered dish meal that evening prior to the service as well. And for graduate recognition, please see the bulletin for details about that, but the deadline is today. If you email or call the church office and leave a message this afternoon, or if you do that tomorrow, we understand, but we need to know so we can order the Bibles and get those prepared. So please keep all of those things in mind. We are delighted that you are here as we worship together today. And I invite you now to listen to these words from Psalm 107 as our call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Let's worship God together, and I invite you to join me in our unison invocation printed in your order of worship. Let's pray together. Gracious God, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 349, To God Be the Glory.
Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
You may be seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon.
Gospel of Mark, which is where?
New Testament.
New Testament. Which gospel is it? Well, Jesus had been telling his disciples about how he was going to die on the cross, and then 3 days later he would be raised. And they didn't understand it. And he kept telling them it's going to happen, and they kept saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, and they kept going. And then two disciples even asked, could they go with me? One sit on the right, one sit on the left. Jesus said that wasn't his call to make. Well, at the end of this particular story, after Jesus dealt with his disciples and their unbelief for quite a while again about what's going to happen, a beggar comes up to him. His name was Bartimaeus, and he couldn't see. He was blind. Did you know what he asked Jesus for?
Sight.
He asked Jesus for sight. And you know what Jesus said to him? Go, your faith has made you well. So Bartimaeus saw Jesus once. And what do you mean, uh-uh?
He's blind.
But what just happened to him?
Oh, no.
He saw Jesus once, right. He met Jesus once. He asked for his sight back. He got his sight back. But the disciples had been in all this state of unbelief for a long time. When did they finally believe in the resurrection?
When it happened,
yeah. They had been going on and on. He'd been telling them over and over it was going to happen. And they didn't want Jesus to go, so they didn't believe him. So we have to remember in our faith that sometimes we may not get it the first time, but eventually our faith is going to make us well and we're going to believe too, right? Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for allowing us to have faith in you, even if that faith sometimes stretches a long ways. In your Son's name, amen. Amen.
Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is from the gift of God, not by the work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Elizabeth. As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we've been asked to remember. We've been asked to remember Joan Grizzard. She's in the hospital in Greenville recovering from a car accident. Also remember her family in prayer. Her mother died on Wednesday, and that was Miss Ola Garris. So please pray for them. We've also been asked to remember Booker Daniel. She's having some knee problems. Mine and Joanne's hearts are heavy this morning. She lost an uncle this week. But also along with that, I'm sure that many of you heard about the awful accident in Morehead City last Sunday night. The pastor of First Baptist Morehead City, Nate Leonard, and his wife and two of their three children. Nate served on staff with me when I was pastor at Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church in Sanford. And last night, unfortunately, his wife Sue Ellen died. So the children are 18, 14, and 11. And so please pray for that family. Nate was also very seriously injured, but is recovering. Will probably move to rehab sometime next week. But please lift up this family in your prayers and lift up their church as well, because this is a very difficult thing for their church family, because they love their pastor and his family. So let's join together in prayer, first in a moment of silence, and then I'll offer our prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Almighty God, who loved the world in such a way that you gave your only begotten Son to save us, forgive us of our sins as we come into your presence, and cleanse our hearts so that we may love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and worship you in ways that please you. We praise you for your grace and thank you for the promise of your word that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, in this season of Lent, as we worship you, we pray that you would make us aware of our own sinfulness and of our own weakness and of our own mortality, and that you would help us always to be looking to you, trusting you for strength and guidance for each day. Lord, we praise you for who you are and for all that you have done. You created this universe. You created us in your own image, and you have worked through your people down through the ages despite our rebellion and our failure sometimes to understand what you are teaching and how you want to work. But Lord, we thank you that you worked through your people, and you promised that you would send a Messiah, and in Jesus your Son, you did just that. We thank you, Father, for how he gave himself for us, how he showed us what it means to be living as you would have us to live, and then how he gave himself on the cross, and how he rose from the dead victorious and ascended to your right hand where he reigns. Oh, Lord, we thank you that he's promised to return in glory and to raise the dead and to judge the world in righteousness and to set all things right in the new creation and to bring all things together under one head in heaven and on earth, even Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the daily blessings that you lavish on us as you provide for our needs and as you sustain us day by day. We thank you for the spiritual blessings that you give us as you give us strength to face the challenges of life. Lord, we thank you most of all for your love in Christ. We come now, Lord, to bring our petitions and our intercessions to you, even as your word teaches us to do. We look at our world, Lord, and we see so much war and so much oppression and persecution, and we lift up those who are suffering because of these things. We pray that you would bring peace and justice in the world. Lord, we pray for grace for those who are persecuted for their faith, that you would strengthen them day by day, that you would help them to bear a strong witness for you. Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for your church in this place, Lord, that you would help us as the Murfreesboro Baptist Church to be a shining light to this community around us, that you would work through us, Father, to reach this community, to bring others to you and to help them to grow in you. Lord, we pray for our country and for our state and our town and for all of our civil leaders at all levels. We pray, Father, for your will to be done in this year when we will be electing leaders. We pray, Father, for those who may be traveling today and ask your watch care over them. We pray, Lord, for those who suffer as often at the hands of others, often because of bad decisions of others, often because of bad decisions of their own. We ask your help for them, Lord. And Father, we pray for those who grieve. We ask especially your blessings on the Leonard family today, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen them and give them your grace for these very difficult days. We pray, Father, for those in physical and spiritual need, for those who do not know you, those who are lost, those who know you but they've gone astray. We ask, Father, that in each of these you would work in their lives to draw them to you, and that your Spirit would work to help them to trust in you and to obey you. And Father, as we worship you now, we pray that you'd make yourself known in this time of worship. We pray, Father, that you would help us to experience another degree of transformation into the likeness of Christ, that when we leave this place today, we would not be the same as when we came in, but that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would be drawn closer to one another as your children, and Father, that you would be making us more and more over in the image of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, Lord, may all glory be to you, O God our Father, in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. Hear us now, Lord, as we lift our voices as one, praying together that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I apologize for that. For about 15, 20 years, it was forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But the Lord hears us. However we pray it. All right. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 34, Word of God Across the Ages.
Reveal, bless, O God, to
wise and simple, all the truth of ageless worth, till all lands receive the witness, and your knowledge fills the earth.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, source and giver of all good gifts, we present our tithes and offerings to you in glad thanksgiving for your goodness. We pray that even as we present these gifts to you, you would empower us to present our bodies and even our very selves to you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you as our spiritual and reasonable service of worship. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. Our text this morning, as we continue to make our way through the gospel according to Mark, comes from Mark 10, verses 32 through 52. Mark 10, 32 through 52. They, that is Jesus and his disciples, were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We're able." And then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not to be so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Lord, bless the reading and the hearing of your word now, and open our minds and our hearts as we look into it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They could see it in his eyes. It amazed his disciples, and it frightened the others who were following with them. They were heading for Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking out ahead of the crowd. And that wasn't unusual, because usually when rabbis were traveling with their disciples, the rabbi would walk out in front of the others leading the way. What was unusual was the intense determination that they saw in the eyes of Jesus as he was making his way toward Jerusalem. On the way, he pulled the 12 over to one side, and he began to tell them, to warn them again about what was going to happen to him. He told them, "Look, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They'll condemn him to death, and then they'll hand him over to the Gentiles. And they'll mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Now, you'd think that this kind of statement by Jesus would have disturbed the disciples, because they knew by now that when he said Son of Man, he was talking about himself. Son of Man was an Old Testament term, and most of the time in the Old Testament it simply meant human being. But there were a few times, such as in Daniel 7, when it was used in a special way to talk about a heavenly deliverer who would be the Savior of God's people. And so Jesus had chosen this term as his favorite term that he used most to describe himself. But what he said about the Son of Man went right over their heads. They missed it completely. You know, I'd like to think that if I had been there and I heard Jesus say something like that, I would have tried to comfort him or encourage him or cheer him up or something. Well, James and John did do something. They came to him to ask him for something. They said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And despite the weight of what he had just told them, Jesus responded, "Well, what is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Well, grant that one of us may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Now, can you imagine that? Here Jesus has just told them, for the third time actually, that he is going to be rejected, suffer, and die. And they're worried about who's going to have the seats of highest honor in his kingdom. Well, James and John, along with Simon Peter, had already gotten a glimpse of Jesus' glory on the mountain when he was transfigured before their very eyes, and they saw him in his eternal glorified state, a foreshadow of his resurrection and his eternal glory. But they didn't understand all of this until after his resurrection. Right now, their minds were stuck on his glory. And they didn't just want a piece of the action, they wanted the best seats in the room. This wasn't the first time this kind of thing had happened, you know. Mark tells us in chapter 8, verse 32, that the first time that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be rejected, suffer, killed, and then rise again, Peter, who had just boldly proclaimed that he was the Messiah, pulled him aside and began to rebuke him and tell him, "No, Jesus, that's not how it's supposed to be." And Jesus' response was, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking about divine things. You're thinking about human things." And then he told the crowd along with his disciples that whoever wanted to follow him had to say no to themselves and take up their cross like he was going to take up his and follow him in this way of rejection and suffering and death that he was describing into eternal life. A few days after Peter, James, and John had seen him transfigured, Jesus told the disciples again, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they had no idea of what he was talking about. They didn't get it. And the way that he was talking, they were afraid to ask him about it. Or maybe what they were really afraid of was that they would understand what he was saying to them. But with his words still hanging fresh in the air, they argued among themselves on the way to Capernaum. And when they got there and settled down, Jesus said, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they wouldn't tell him. He said, "Well, it's like this. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all," because they were arguing about who was greatest among them. And to drive his point home, Jesus took a little child and stood that child there among them, and then he reached out and he wrapped his arms around that child and pulled the child close. And he said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." You see, in that day, children were at the bottom of the social hierarchy. They were to be seen and not heard. And here Jesus takes a child that most people wouldn't give the time of day to, except the child's parents, maybe grandparents. And Jesus puts the child front and center. "Whoever receives one like this receives me." Now you'd think that would have gotten things across to the disciples, wouldn't you? But James and John still had Jesus' glory on their minds. They'd seen it. They had experienced it. They'd tasted it. Now they wanted to share in Jesus' glory. And he was going up to Jerusalem with determination. And maybe they thought that the reason he was so determined was because he was getting ready to set up his kingdom. And when he set it up, they wanted to be the top dogs. They wanted to be the teacher's pets. They wanted to be the most important ones in the room. They had missed what Jesus said before. Now they had missed it again. They'd tried to get him to say yes before they even told him what it was they wanted. You know, kind of like children do their parents sometimes. Well, Jesus had wisely sidestepped that, and he asked them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "We want to sit one on your right, one on your left in your glory." In other words, they were saying, "We want the best seats. We want everybody to know that you think more of us, that you think we're more important to you, that you regard us more highly than anybody else." And Jesus looked at them and said, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with?" And he was talking about his suffering that was coming, his passion. They boldly responded, "We're able." And Jesus said, "The cup I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I'm baptized with, you'll be baptized. But to sit at my right and my left, that's not mine to give. It's for those for whom it's been prepared." Now, here you have James and John talking to Jesus, and here are the other 10 disciples over here, and you know what's happening. They're overhearing, and they are not happy. In fact, they are indignant that they would have the audacity to ask this of Jesus. So Jesus called all of them together, and he said, "You know that among the Gentiles, those they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not to be so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you has to be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That was his answer. But you know, that's not really the end of the story. Because they went on to Jericho. And after their visit there, as they were leaving, a large crowd was with them, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, his name meant son of Timaeus, he was sitting by the roadside, and he heard that Jesus was coming by, and he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people said, "Bartimaeus, be quiet." And they sternly warned him to be quiet. He just kept calling out more and more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. And he said, "Call him here." They looked at Bartimaeus. They said, "Take heart, he's calling for you." And Bartimaeus threw off his outer cloak and he jumped up on his feet and he came to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "My teacher, let me see again. Let me see again." He'd been blind for years. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Go, your faith has made you well." And it's interesting in the Gospels, that phrase that's often translated "has made you well" or "has healed you," if you translate that very closely word for word, it is, "Your faith has saved you." It's the same word for salvation. Immediately, instantaneously, after years of being blind, he could see again. And what did he do? He followed Jesus. Same question. "What do you want me to do for you?" But what a different answer. James and John wanted to be seen as the great ones. Bartimaeus wanted to see. They had their minds on glory. He had his mind on Jesus' grace and mercy. They were confident they could drink Jesus' cup and be baptized with his baptism. Bartimaeus knew he couldn't do anything to help himself. They were seeking to advance themselves. He just wanted to be whole. He wanted to be able to see. You know, Jesus didn't come and give his life to do any of the things that James and John were wanting. Not at all. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So don't you see it? Don't you see it? Jesus gave his life for us so that we might be saved through faith in him, by trusting him, yielding our lives to him as our Lord. And so when I look at these stories here and the way that Mark has juxtaposed them side by side, I have to ask myself, just what is it that I want Jesus to do for me? What do I want Jesus to do for me? Do I want him to make my life comfortable and prosperous, protecting me from any kind of difficulty or suffering? Well, that'd be nice, but didn't he say that those who would follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross? Do I want him to make me the greatest, the best, and the brightest among those who follow him, more important than anybody else? That'd be impressive, but didn't he say that anyone who wants to be first must be servant of all and slave of all, willing to receive and take up time with even those whom the world around us deems the least important? Do I want him to give me the highest place of honor in his kingdom, ruling over others and exalted over them? Well, that certainly gave my ego a huge boost. But didn't he say that whoever wants to become really great must be a servant of those they lead? What do I want Jesus to do for me? Give me fame and fortune, a life of ease where everything always goes right? Or do I want him to give me sight? Make me see his way. Give me the life he came to give. Save me. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Let's pray. And so now, Lord, in these moments of reflection and commitment, help us to look at ourselves honestly about what we want you to do for us, and help us truly to seek your way and to seek you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want Jesus to do for you? How's he speaking to you this morning through his Spirit and through his Word? Will you be open to him to respond in obedience and faith? Whatever commitment he's calling you to, you can do that. You can make that commitment right where you are. But if you feel the need to come and share it, we invite you to do that as we sing. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's as good a time as any to do it. Just trust in him. Yield your life to him. Put your faith in him and trust him. And then you need to tell others about it. And we invite you to come and share that good news this morning. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 602.
his name lifted.
Thank you for being here this morning. It's been good to worship God together. Dr. White, we appreciate the pre-service music that you offered. That was very nice. We appreciate that very much. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that we can come together to worship you. We ask now, Lord, that you would watch over us and help us as we seek to live as your people, following Jesus, seeking what you want, seeking what you will do for us, Lord, according to your will and your grace. We're grateful for our time of worship. We're grateful for our church family. Help us now always to be seeking to live as faithful disciples, following you together. We pray in Jesus' name. And as you go, my brothers and sisters, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.